Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you've seen already, the title of our message this morning is What Goes Up Must Come Down. Based on our gospel reading from St. Mark, especially, let me read again these key verses. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they'd seen. I encourage you to open up your handout that was given to you and find on that handout the sermon outline as we consider our theme, What Goes Up Must Come Down. Well, what goes up must come down. It's a famous proverb. It's a famous saying. But what does it mean? Where did it originate? Where did it come from? Actually, I did some research, and there are a number of possibilities. The first idea, some attribute it to the English scientist from the late 1600s, Sir Isaac Newton, who was credited with discovering, or at least explaining, the law of gravity as he took various objects of various weights up on a tower and dropped them to see how fast they would fall. What goes up must come down. Another explanation that I found comes from military history, and this kind of tickled me because I enjoy reading about such things. It was said that when soldiers were on the ground shooting anti-aircraft guns at enemy planes above, before the planes would arrive, they would shoot a practice shell up into the air. Just for luck, they claimed. But the commander would come and say, "Now, gentlemen, watch it when you do this, because if you shoot it straight up in the air, what goes up must come down. And if you hit nothing, it could come down upon your heads." When you go to the trivia dictionary, and did you know there is such a thing called the trivia dictionary? It asks this question. What goes up but never comes down? The answer? Your age. Well, the truth is, in our lives, all of us, we all have our ups and downs, don't we? When we travel, we can go up a hill and go down the road. With our emotions, isn't it true? We can feel up or we can feel down. Wages go up and down. Sales go up and down. In school, our grades can go up and our grades can go down. Good experiences are often called uppers and bad experiences are often called downers. I'm sure in your lives you've all had ups and downs. On this Transfiguration Sunday, the sermon is all about ups and downs. Our gospel reading from St. Mark tells us that one day Jesus took with them three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they went up a mountaintop. The text says he led them up a high mountain. Going up a mountain is a common biblical event. Up is God's domain. So Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the two tablets of the law from God. The people of Israel went up hills or mountains to construct places of worship like Bethel and Shiloh and Jerusalem. The prophet Elijah went out Mount Carmel to face the prophets of the false god Baal to prove who the true God was. Jesus went up mountains to pray. He went up for the Sermon on the Mount. He went up for the Mount of Transfiguration. And later, the last mount he ascends is the Mount of Calvary as he goes to the cross. Today's gospel reading finds us, Jesus taking some disciples up a mountain to prepare them for the soon coming end of his earthly ministry. up on this particular mountain that day, something very important will happen that will verify, that will make true everything he's been telling them about who he is and why he came. We call this event the Transfiguration. Now, some big surprises came down on that mountaintop that day for Jesus' disciples. St. Mark puts it this way. And Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became radiant, intensely white. This means the glory of God came down upon Jesus on that day. It was a confirmation of who Jesus is and why he came. He is Almighty God in human flesh. He is the glory of God in human flesh, come to this world to be with sinful people. Jesus' dazzling white appearance on the Mount of Transfiguration has to remind us of that day when Moses got the Ten Commandments from God and the glory of God appeared on that mountaintop. Listen to Exodus 34:29. And as Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the law, his face shone with the glory of God, and people were afraid to come near him. But even a better passage that talks about the transfiguration, resurrection glory is from the Apostle St. John in his vision of the resurrected Jesus in heaven. We read from Revelation chapter 1 these words. And I saw that there was one like the Son of Man, clothed in a white robe. His hair was white like snow, his eyes like a flame of fire, his feet as burnished bronze. He was glowing like in a furnace. But another big surprise came down upon that mountaintop for Jesus and especially for the disciples that day. Here's what we read in today's gospel account. And there also appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Now, why these two Old Testament figures, Elijah and Moses? Moses represents all of God's laws and his commandments. Elijah represents all of the Old Testament prophets of Holy Scripture. Their presence declares that this Jesus is the complete fulfillment of all of the hopes and promises of the laws of God and of his prophets in human flesh. Here he is. The Savior has come. And soon when Jesus will leave that mountaintop, where does he head? He heads to the cross. What goes up in Jesus' life? The glory and the joy of being so close to heaven must come down as he goes to that cross. And we can just imagine that in a special act of love by his heavenly Father, the Father gave Jesus this one last experience of being encouraged and strengthened before he descended that mountain to go to the cross. Thank God for your sins and for mine. But what an up experience for these disciples, Peter, James, and John. How would you have liked to have been on that mountaintop that day? Jesus, shining transfiguration glory. Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. The disciples didn't want to go down that mountain. They wanted to stay there and bask in the glory of Jesus' transfiguration and Moses and Elijah. The text tells us they wanted to set up a camp and have a camp out and never go down the mountain. Listen to what Peter says. Verse 5, and Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is so good that we are here. Let us set up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Peter was speaking for the other disciples. This is neat, Lord. This is good stuff. We are so close to heaven. It can't get any better than this. We never want to leave. We always want to stay up. We never want to go down. But Peter, Jesus had to go down that mountain of transfiguration glory. And Peter, he had to take you and James and John with him because our Lord Jesus had a divine appointment with the cross that led him down from that mountaintop. This was the purpose he came, the purpose of his entire life. You see, Jesus went down that we might go up. Jesus went down not just from that Mount of Transfiguration, but he went down from the glories of heaven. He gave it all up to walk the dust and the dirt and the filth of this earth. He came down for us from heaven that we might go up to be with him in heaven forever. Jesus also came down from heaven that he might be lifted up on the cross to pay for your sins and for mine. In speaking of himself and his soon coming crucifixion, Jesus says this in John chapter 3, "And I, the Son of Man, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. For God so loved the world," Jesus said, "he gave his only Son." After Jesus was lifted up on that cross, then what happened? He went down to the grave, dying for your sins, substituting his death for your death. And Holy Scripture also tells us at that time, he descended even further down to the pits of hell. Not to suffer, but to proclaim his victory over sin, death, and the devil. Listen to what 1 Peter 3 says. "For Christ also died once and for all, having been put to death in the flesh, but then he was made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison." After this proclamation of victory to the devil and the demons in prison, then Jesus arose once and for all in resurrection victory. He rose up from death. He rose up from hell and appeared to many hundreds of people, some of whom have written the gospel lessons we read today. Jesus rose to declare and to demonstrate his glory, his majesty, the glory and majesty that was his on that Transfiguration Mountain, came to him again as he rose on Easter Sunday. And everything he did for you and for me. And one day, he will take us, his people, to be with him forever in heaven. And one day with Peter, James, and John in our Lord's presence, we're going to want to put up tents and never come down. Many, many hours of my life in these times right now, in the life of our congregation, is being spent with our dear people who are struggling, some close to death, and I received yet another phone call this morning just before church. But another. And as your pastor, I spend time with these people and hold their hands and stroke their heads and read the Scripture and give them the Lord's Supper if they're able to take it. It is my awesome responsibility and joy in the midst of this down moment to say, this is not all there is. It may be down. But can you see? Can you see the Mount of Transfiguration, glory with Jesus? Can you see our Lord welcoming us there? Can you see Peter, James, and John saying, it's time to pitch your tent to be in glory forever, where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more hunger. The old has passed away, the new has come. Oh Lord, we want to be on that mountaintop. St. John the Apostle puts it this way. In Revelation 21, listen to this passage. St. John said in his vision of heaven, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, The dwelling of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, there'll be no more pain. The former things have passed away. My dear friends, until that day, when by God's grace you are with him in heaven, until that day, and in the meantime, please remember this and take this home with you today. Jesus is the Lord of all our ups and all our downs. And our precious Lord Jesus Christ will never let you down. In the name of Jesus, amen. We now worship our Lord with his offering.